Most of you know, I'm a Gideon. John here is a Gideon. My wife is in an auxiliary, which is the ladies' group of the Gideons. Our focus is to spread the word. If any of you have ever stayed in a hotel and seen a Bible sitting there, the odds are about 98-1 or 2, whatever, that a Gideon placed that Bible there. And John Deere is here to tell us a little more about it. He's better at that than I am. Plus the fact you all know me too well. So, John, we just thank you for being here today.
Ron Cummings was frantic. He clawed and he kicked the inside of the coffin, and he couldn't imagine why anybody had buried him alive. He could feel the earth pressing down on him. He couldn't breathe, and he just was beyond himself. And then Ron Cummings woke up, and what he woke up to was almost as bad as the nightmare. Ron Cummings was laying completely naked on the floor of a psychiatric ward in a Texas state penitentiary. And as he lay there, it began to come back to him what had gone on. As a young man, Ron's mother had left him, and Ron didn't handle that very well. Fell in with a bad group of young men, and this eventually led to a life of mischief, had some run-ins with the law, finally was warned severely by the law, did not heed these warnings. Without his mom and his life, his father, of course, had not handled that leaving very well, and Ron just didn't have any direction in his life, and so he fell into a real life of crime. Spent a little time in jail, was finally released, but that had not taught him a lesson, and Ron went on a statewide and a nationwide crime spree that lasted several years, and of course finally got caught, came before a judge that he'd been before, and the judge just literally threw the book at Ron Cummings. A young man, had a wife at this time, two beautiful young daughters, and Ron was sentenced to 125 years in the Texas penitentiary. And again, Ron, as you could imagine, didn't handle that very well at all. Had no spiritual leadership, had no friends. At the time this happened, he had not had a friend or a visit for 7.5 years, and Ron had not had a letter for 5 years. And things just went from bad to worse. Ron actually just about lost his humanity. He would run around inside the cell and beat himself against the bars and do what he could to destroy things. And the worse it got, the more the punishment became, until he found himself inside this padded cell. And so this particular morning he woke up. His hands were wet. He looked at his hands and they were all red from bleeding, because he had literally been clawing at the floor, clawing at the walls. And it dawned on him where he was at and what had happened, and he began to look around, and inside this cell there was actually no fixtures, no windows, no doors. There was a single door with a little barred opening where the guards could look at Ron. And in addition to that, there was a little opening with a shelf where they slid his food through to him. And Ron had been after the prison people to give him something to read, and they wouldn't. Not even a newspaper, not a book, not anything. And this particular morning as he woke up, and he was kind of in a haze, he had just had a terrible time, he began to look around, and as his eyes came to this door, he noticed that there was a little brown object laying on that shelf. And Ron thought, well, what in the world is that? That doesn't belong there. He knew immediately if there was anything out of place, and that brown object didn't belong there. Ron thought for a little bit, and then for whatever reason, it came to him that, well, that's a Bible. And I don't want anything to do with it, because I could open that Bible and inside there I would read, Ron Cummings, you're going straight to hell. And he didn't want to hear that, of course. But Ron was desperate. He had begged and begged for something to read. And as the hours went by, he finally decided that he would go and pick this Bible up. And it was a Gideon New Testament, just exactly like that one. Ron still has this New Testament today. And for whatever reason, he grabbed it and opened the back cover. And the first words he read there was, God loves you. And Ron says, no, that can't be true. Nobody loves Ron Cummings. But Ron was driven to investigate the message here in the back, directed him to different portions of the Gospels and the epistles, the Psalms and the Proverbs. And pretty soon, Ron Cummings found himself back on the floor crying and believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the story goes on. Even though Ron had been sentenced to 125 years, what happened when Ron truly trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior? Well, Ron became a new creature in Christ. And consequently, his behavior changed radically. And the prison administrators recognized that Ron had become a different person. And long story short, eventually got a letter. Of course, he got taken out of the padded cell, put back in more conventional prison housing, and eventually got a letter. And he didn't understand that because he'd never had any mail, or hadn't had in 5 years. And it said on the letter that it was from the Texas Parole Board. He just didn't know what to make of it, so he put it under his pillow and just ignored the letter. But after a period of time, he took the letter out, opened it up, and was told that the parole board was considering paroling Ron Cummings. And Ron again thought, well, this is a trick. You know, I've been sentenced to 125 years. There's no hope for me. But after a period of time, he began to ask the prison guard if there was a preacher that he could talk to. And the guard said, boy, there's no preachers in prison. We do have a chaplain, a prison chaplain. Ron says, well, I would like to talk to him. Of course, he went to the chaplain and began to talk to the chaplain, asked him, so, well, what went on in my life? Why? What's happened to me? And, of course, this chaplain had the wisdom to understand and point out to Ron that he had indeed became a new creature in Christ, and it radically changed his life. And Ron showed him the letter from the parole board, and the chaplain said, yeah, you're right, Ron. They're not going to let you out of here. That's a mistake. But it was not a mistake. And today, after 18 years in prison, Ron is a free man. He reconciled with his wife. And he spends a big part of his free time going around to Gideon banquets and conventions and sharing what Jesus Christ did with him, not through a man, but through God's very own Word. And we all know that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharp. And it really cuts right through to the spirit of man. And Ron shares that today. And it's just a great, great story. To this day, he does not know who the man was that left that Gideon New Testament. He knows it was a Gideon. He knows that somewhere out there, somebody spent $1.30 to buy that Gideon New Testament, and that some Gideon, just being faithful to God and obeying that command to go and preach the Word or teach the Word or leave the Word, came by that night, probably saw Ron passed out, just left the New Testament on that door, and it was a changed life. A miracle. Part of the miracle of the Gideon ministry. It had been a very, very difficult day for this particular group of Gideons. They had been in Uganda, in a town called Ninja, Uganda, down in the southeast corner. And they had 700 of these Gideon New Testaments to deliver to Ugandese kids in their own language. And so they set out. It was a very remote area they were going to. Quite a long trip over a very difficult four-wheel drive roads, and by the time they got there, great disappointment. The kids had all been dismissed from school and they had all gone home, and they were scheduled to go back to Ninja that night. But the teachers ran out so overjoyed to see these Gideons, said, not to worry, we'll get the kids back. They went and rang the school bell, and between 600 and 700 children came back and received one of these books. And Pastor David remarked about how we can all afford this book. And that's true in America. This is not much money to put a Bible in the hands of any American child, and that's done pretty readily. This is not always the case in some third world countries. Some parents will never have the financial resources to even clothe and feed their children, let alone buy them a book. And for that reason, the Gideons have an open door as a group of business and professional men that churches and religions don't have. Anyhow, the kids all came back. They all received their New Testaments. And then the teachers asked the Gideons, would you like to see our library? And they said, sure, we'd love to see your library. They went in, and their library consisted of 10 Gideon New Testaments, $13 worth of books. I'm not normally an emotional guy, but when I think what God does with His Word through the Gideon organization, it really does move me. Joe shared a little bit with you. The Gideons are a group of professional and businessmen, probably an organization that's 110 years old, founded by two traveling salesmen, I think in the state of Indiana, back before 1900. And the ministry has grown and grown. I think there's 5.1 billion people in the world today, and the Gideons have distributed at this point 1.6 billion Bibles and New Testaments. Every time your heart beats worldwide, the Gideons distribute 2.5 Bibles or New Testaments somewhere in the world, an average of 2.5 per second, 7 days a week, year round. So it's just a great ministry. The stories are unlimited. We could sit here and tell stories all day. We won't do that. You might be asking, well, what is this to me? How do I fit into what the Gideons are doing? And the Gideons present the Gideon program to churches for a number of reasons. Of course, we solicit your help. We are not a church. We're not a parachurch organization. We are one of your ministry or missionary outreaches. And so you can help us first and foremost by praying for the Gideons International. Just if you're a person that prays and works off a prayer list, write Gideons on there. And every time you go to God in prayer or on a regular basis, pray for the Gideons. Another way you can help, of course, you can help financially by supporting. You can either individually or as a group give money. $1.30 will buy a New Testament in one of 96 different languages to be distributed in one of 197 different countries. There's 211 countries, I think, at this point in time, and that changes on a daily basis. But we are in 197 of them with 96 different languages, and $1.30 will buy a testament and distribute it somewhere outside the United States. None of this money from the churches provide scriptures or hotel Bibles for the United States of America. It all goes into a faith fund, all goes to places where people cannot afford to buy and distribute scriptures. Another way you could help, you could become a Gideon. If you're a businessman or professional man or retired professional or businessman, talk to myself or Joe. We would love to have you as be part of what we call Boone County Gideon Camp, South Camp. So that's another way that you could very definitely help, is become a Gideon. And Gideons serve and help in a number of different ways. Many Gideons just pay their dues, and that's what pays for the administrative costs and the Bibles here in the United States. Every Gideon is a volunteer. There's no paid Gideons aside from a few administrators and some office help in the international headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee. But anyhow, you could become a Gideon, you could pay your annual dues, and this would do a lot for paying administrative costs. You could get involved in the camp, and that can be a minor involvement or it can be a pretty major involvement. We've kind of drugged Joe into becoming camp treasurer. And they've also drugged me into becoming the coordinator for the Gideon gift card program. And that's not something that it's easy to drag an old mechanic type into, you know. But anyhow, there's a place for you in the Gideon's International if you feel that's where God wants you to be and to serve. It's a great, great opportunity. So give some thought to that. And if you have questions, why... don't even hesitate. Come to Joe or myself, and we would love to talk to you, answer your questions. The Gideons have a great ministry for local people, church people. That's called a gift card program. They have card racks that they put in churches, they put in hospitals, they put in funeral parlors, different places. And the way this gift card works, if... you want to give a card to somebody in remembrance of something that they've done, a sympathy card, you actually don't buy the card. The cards are placed here in the church. They're free to the people that take the card. But inside the card, there's an explanation and an opportunity to donate money to buy Bibles. And you can put $5 in that envelope, and that would purchase a complete Bible, Old and New Testament, or any multiple of $1.30 for New Testaments, whatever you stipulate on the little card, the little envelope, what it is you want your money to be spent on, how much of this money. You mail the card to the person you're recognizing, and it says, in memory of, and then you put their name and of course, who it's from and how many Bibles. And then the envelope goes to the Gideon International, and that money is used 100% to buy Bibles and New Testaments. There's not any part of the money that comes from the churches or the Gideon Card program that's used to administer those types of programs. And if you're familiar with charities, you know that's not the way that normally works. Normally there's a great big chunk of the money is used to administer the program. But in this case, it's not. Every penny of every dollar is used to purchase Bibles or New Testaments for distribution outside the United States. So it's just a great ministry. I'm thankful to God for allowing me to be a small part of that. I'm thankful to Pastor David and you folks for letting us come in and present this program. And again, if you have questions or there's anything you'd like to say to myself or to Joe, he'll be with you on a regular basis. Don't hesitate to reach out to us and talk to us, and we'd love to share more about this Gideon ministry.
Do you have time for a few questions now?
Absolutely, I do have. Do I have answers? I don't know that, but we'll try.
Well, the name Gideon's, what's the history there?
Well, he was Gideon was a hero of God out of the Old Testament, an Israelite that had been sent to conquer an army, and his army, he felt, was too big, and through faith in God, he reduced that army to a very small force and overcame a much greater force. And that's why the name Gideon's International. They were named after this Gideon of the Old Testament, who was a man of faith, believed God, and what he believed came to pass then.
I'm sure you wouldn't say it in your presentation, but a little birdie told me that you folks, all your traveling expenses, all your related expenses actually come out of your own pockets.
This is true. Even if we are involved in a distribution here in this country, we even purchase the Bibles or the Testaments out of our own pocket. All the travel money, everything that's involved, we do that. That's one reason why the Gideons request the person, the Gideon, be either a professional or a businessman. It does take a little money to successfully participate in the Gideon activities. So... but it is. It's a great ministry. If you want to Google Ministry Watch or one of those watchdog groups that keeps tracks of charities and ministries, you can do that. And you'll always find that the Gideons are in one of the top five of those particular groups just because of their above board way of dealing and spending that money, making sure it goes where it's supposed to go. More questions, David?
We were privileged to be at your dinner this last late fall.
Yes.
And if you ever come back, I want you to bring those videos with you that they played, because the stories were just remarkable. And we're talking about Muslim countries and Hindu countries, and one after another, the power of God's word and spirit was so evident. It was a very edifying evening.
Thank you. That's our annual Pastors Appreciation Dinner. And as Gideons, we really appreciate pastors, and we appreciate the opportunity to come in and present the Gideon program. And like David points out, there are third world countries where school is conducted in a hut with a dirt floor, and the writing implement is a stick, and the tablet is the floor itself, and never any hope of those individuals, those children, having a book of their own. Now, as Americans, we cannot even imagine such poverty. I mean, that does not even enter into our thinking. But these countries are Muslim-controlled countries, and they're closed to anybody that mentions Christian or church or anything of that nature. But the Gideons come in as a group of professional and business men, and that just seems to put a whole different twist on it. And then the fact that the Bibles are distributed freely. Even though they're Muslims, they know these kids will never, ever have an opportunity to have a book. So they would rather they have this New Testament telling them about Jesus Christ than no book at all. So what a great, great opportunity. What a great... I had a former pastor tell me here maybe a year ago. He says, John, it just seems to me that we don't see miracles anymore, you know. And in America, folks, Americans have become hard. And sometimes, you know, it's not so apparent. But the real miracles are going on in many other places. And many people are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hate to say this, but I feel like we're almost living in a post-Christian era here in the United States. But that doesn't mean that God's not at work. God is doing a great work through many, many organizations. This church is one of them. But the Gideons International is another one. So yes, there's lots to get excited about when you think what God is doing around the world, for sure. More questions? Yes, ma'am.
Can people donate, designate what country they want Bible study?
Well, that's a good question that I don't have an answer to. But we can find that answer out and get back to you and let you know that. She wanted to know, could a person donate money and then specify as to what country that money went to? And I bet you that would be the case. I expressed to Pastor David that I'm glad God was compassionate on the ignorant, because I get pretty ignorant about a lot of things. But sometimes I think, well, I don't want my money spent here. I want my money to go overseas, especially to these places where possibly a whole generation could grow up and not have anything of their own to read, you see. So yes, I could see where that would be a very, very good point. But Joe and I will try to find that out and then get back. Joe can bring that information back here. Will that work?
Yes.
Okay. And you folks definitely have a invite, even though it hadn't been mailed out, to this year's Pastor's Appreciation Dinner. We just I'm like you. That's the highlight of my year. I'm not a pastor, but I love the Pastor's Banquet. It's a great opportunity, and the stories, it's just amazing what God is continuing to do in the propagation of the gospel all across the world. You know, it's a great, great thing. Any other questions? Well, folks, all right.
I want to mention, just because I know our folks will be wondering, typically when someone like yourself comes, we have an offering.
Yes.
The deacons discussed it, and they decided, because of some families struggling and whatnot economically, for the church, we have some money in the account. The folks know that the deacons decided just to give a gift from the church. So before you run away, he's here, make sure you see the gentleman in the orange shirt.
All right. Well, I'll do that, and just thanks. This is kind of a new thing for me, although I've been a Gideon for 2 years and almost immediately began to present. we try to distribute the presentations amongst the Gideons so that we don't miss being in our home church. That's a big factor. That's the reason my wife is not with me this morning. My pastor's going through a series on God's goals in our lives, and we felt that it was real important that she go, and she's a much younger Christian, and she's growing, and so I wanted her to get that information. But yes, we appreciate being here, and we would love to come back at any time that you'd like us. We've had another request to use some of that video material to present. I'm going up and presenting to a bunch of folks at Hillcrest Nursing Home the last Wednesday of April, and they requested. So I'm working at learning how to do that too. So we would look forward to that. I do have a rack, yes, and I'll bring it in the morning. And if you all decide you want a rack of Gideon cards, Joe can pick that. That'll work fine. And then if you need a little more information, I've got these. Can I just set them on a chair? And you all want to have a little more information about the Gideon program? Well, you just come up and help yourself there. And if there's any extra, Joe wants to bring them back. Well, Joe and I get together with a group of other Gideons every Monday morning. We have a prayer breakfast, and a big part of that prayer is praying for local churches and particularly pastors, because we know that this is God's way. David is actually you folks' shepherd, and that's God's way of leading his sheep is through a shepherd. So we're thankful for all of that. Thankful to be here. Thank you very much.